So last month, we talked about, we contemplated step eight, made a list of people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. It's a major step, all the different parts of that one. So tonight, we're going to continue with some aspects of step nine, which many of you know, but I'll say, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to injure them or others. That's really very important. And these steps are not to be taken lightly, and they're not to be done by rote. They are a container for ever-deepening reflection. And this is where meditation is very helpful as we increase our capacity for mindfulness and awareness. We are better able to do reflection rather than just go blah, 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 as often happens. Because these steps now are calling upon us to really examine our intentions. What are we really doing here? And to deepen the understanding of forgiveness. And that is a very deep road to freedom, the road of forgiveness. And we begin also to understand the working of karma. And by that I mean our actions will have consequences. And so many of our actions have been habitual and have been certainly when we've been using. They haven't necessarily been kind. And they do have their ramifications. And I'll just say one thing, whether we're asking for forgiveness or giving forgiveness, I love when the Dalai Lama said, my religion is kindness. And to bring that sense of kindness to ourselves and to others as we do these steps. Developing the willingness to make a real change is much harder than saying I'm sorry, as you may have noticed. But without this willingness to change, I mean, the word amend, right? Mend. You know, when it's like you have a hole in something, you take a scissor. No, you don't need the scissor anymore. We use our scissors to make problems, but the needle and thread, we can make an amend. We can make amend. And so, how do we mend our relationships with others, putting them back together again? Because without this willingness to do more than say, I'm sorry, an apology is meaningless. As a matter of fact, it's very often narcissistic. How many times I would say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And then I would cry, and then somebody would say to me, it's all right, honey, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. That is not an amend. That is getting somebody to get lovingly to my ego so I don't have to face what's really going on. Very naively, I thought I would be off the hook. We don't get off the hook. Even if it may look like we're off the hook, when somebody says, don't worry about it, it's fine, I forgive you, we're not off the hook if we don't mend something. And very often what we have to mend is our way of seeing things, right? And that demands clarity. And how many times, and I speak for myself, will say, I'm sorry, as a manipulation. You don't really mean I'm sorry. As I said, to bring the focus back to ourselves. I know I had that game I played with my husband. I'm sorry, don't worry about it, he said. So I could continue doing the same thing. And it wasn't until way later, after we were divorced and we became very good friends and I wasn't drinking, I could see the pain that I caused in my behavior and the realization about, my God, I really affect other people. People are not objects, they are subjects, just like I am. And that was a very, very big thing to learn, especially in this making of amends. So these steps, 8 and 9, this is a deep spiritual practice. A deep spiritual practice when it is centered around the process inside ourselves, the shifts and changes that have to take place in here. and then they affect our relationship with others. Sometimes people put so much of the focus on the amend to the other person without realizing that we are the ones that have to undergo, almost sometimes, for sometimes, a seismic shift in how we see and how we behave. And success in step 9, and this is important, I'll probably say something more about it, it's not conditional on the desired outcome. It's not. It's just what we do. We have no control, right? If the other person is going to say fine. No control. So step 9 completes more of what we started in step 8. And we make amends in many different ways. You know, we pay back debts, both emotional debts, fiscal debts. And we find the time that's appropriate to do and say things that will heal the damage. And it can be different. There's not a set formula. At least I don't believe there's a set formula. By doing this step, and I'm shifting to one of the main, a big teaching of the Buddha in almost every spiritual path, which is about cultivating goodness. Cultivating goodness. I love when we look up at the altar here, we used to have just the Buddha. And the Buddha represents many things, including wisdom. But we have Kuan Yin, who is a manifestation of compassion and kindness. And they say that those are the two wings of Buddhism. And how do we bring, when we are going to make an amend, this combination of kindness and compassion, as well as wisdom, meaning an understanding and clarity of what we did and how it possibly hurt somebody. And so it takes insight, it takes courage, it takes compassion, it takes dedication to make an amend. Right? I mean, when I think of my first amends and when I think of my later amends, they were like two totally different cultures, to say. Here we get significant help and guidance with awareness and understanding. And especially when we have some nourishing guidance of people we trust, not our yes men. I think we all have people who say, oh yes, you're okay, yes, you're okay. No, no, sometimes that's a really good friend who'll say, hey Sandra, you were a little off right there. And as much as we may not want to hear it, that can be really, really helpful. So what are we doing? We're getting closer to seeing the way things really are. And this is the message, certainly of the Buddha, right? Vipassana, insight, to see clearly, and Bill W. So now, in step 9, we were saying it requires good judgment, and it has a prudence and a careful sense of timing. It's not about blurting everything out. That's not the 9th step. And there is a major teaching of the Buddha called Sampajanya. Sampajanya, you won't find that in the AA book, but it means clear comprehension. Clear comprehension. And the Buddha talked of the importance of clear comprehension of purpose in everything we do. And I think step 9 calls for a lot of clear reflection and understanding of our purpose, of our intentions, Sampajanya. And so in the Buddhist text, and this is what I want to talk a little bit about tonight, in the Buddhist text, they talk about 4 kinds of clear comprehension. And those of you who've studied any of the Buddhist teachings know that it has a lot of lists. So there's lists of 5 things, 4 things, 3 things, 2 things. And lists can be very helpful. Not to cross them off, but to really look at them and study. So let's look at the 4 aspects of clear comprehension as they may help us in deepening our understanding of or working with step 9. So the first one is clear comprehension of purpose. Why are we doing what we're doing? If we're making an amend because your sponsor said you got to make amends to do step 9, that's not such a good reason. It's not going to really get what you need. This is about intention. What is this deep intention? What's the aim of what we're planning to do? So we're really starting to ask questions in here. An important question is, we'll talk more about it later as we do some sharing, what is the motivation for wanting to make this particular amend? What's the motivation? Is it so the person will like you? Is it so you get the person off your back? Is it so that you get approval? Is it so that you don't have to worry about it anymore? Okay, did it. Those may not be the most valuable intentions. They won't get you the freedom in here. Is it because you genuinely understand that you did something harmful? You genuinely understand it and you want to repair what damage there was? Because you have a sense, oh my God, what it must have been like for that person. That opens your heart. There's a vulnerability in there, a wanting to repair. And this making amends for the right reason is totally in sync with the Buddhist teachings and with Bill's. Now again, the main thing, if you do start to make an amend and admit what you've done and you have a clarity of purpose, try not to hold on to any attachment to be forgiven. You're doing this without any expectations. And that's not so easy. And so sometimes it's good to work with that a little bit. And so that if you do notice you're upset, that you can then work with that and not get mad again at the person and then start a whole other series of things that you have to make an amend for later. Truth is, you may not be forgiven, at least at that moment. They may need time to take in what you're saying. And you need to be prepared. By prepared, I mean don't have a script, but to be open, to be in the moment, to take whatever comes, any response that you receive from the person you had injured, without becoming angry. A lot of us get triggered when we don't feel understood, especially when we're doing something quote-unquote heroic. Can you remain grounded and accepting to whatever transpires? I remember once I was sitting with my sister-in-law and my brother, and I made an amend to them for something that was really very important to them, and I hadn't realized it because it wasn't that important to me. And instead of saying, thank you, Sandra, they said, well, you know, you really hurt us. And I said, you know, tell me more about that, because I am so sorry, but I want to hear more about it. And they got it all out. It was so hard. It was so hard to hear. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, what kind of an asshole was I to have done that? Where was I? And at the same time, I'm listening and I'm taking it in. And what happened after this talk, there was so much love. We heard each other. So it's not always pretty. You can put something out, and if the other person isn't prepared to respond, you can always say, listen, if you ever want to talk more about this, I'm really open to do it. So you can go and start the amend without the acceptance of the other. So separate from the experience, my brother and sister-in-law, which turned out to be so beautiful, and actually, by my listening to everything they had to say, I was able to shift a lot of understanding what was important to them, even if not important to me, and our relationship is just, it just got so much better. But I also had a profound and a very sad experience. So often we are blind to what we are doing and how it's affecting other people. And until we find out, we just keep doing it, right? I went to make an amend to a beloved friend. And she didn't want to talk about it. She didn't want to talk to me. And she wasn't open in any way to making an amend. She said, I hear you want to make an amend, you know, fine. I don't want to go there. And I had to accept her right to refuse keeping our relationship with the sense that, oh my God, I hurt her way beyond I had any idea. And the truth is that some of her very old things got triggered by my behavior because somebody else might have had a different response to my behavior. But the fact is, it triggered this very old thing. I had not taken into account her background, and I should know better because I work with people in their backgrounds. And I learned a great, great deal, and I had to sit with a heart that was very wounded and just allow that that was just the way, it was the cost of what I had done. And I had to hold myself in compassion and hold her in compassion and continue to this day to send her deep metta. And then one day, about months later, I fell back into a state of equilibrium, knowing that at some time, if the time is right, we'll connect again. But it was a long process, and one for which I am very grateful. Now, I'm not saying everybody wants that process, but whatever the outcome is, there's going to be, you have to be with it, right? There's the clear comprehension of suitability. That's connected to clear comprehension of purpose. It's not always appropriate to make an amend so that we think that we're working step 9. We need to take into account both our circumstances and what's true for the other person. It is not a good idea to say to your husband and wife, honey, I want to do step 9. I want to tell you I've been sleeping with other women while we're married. I know you didn't know it, but I think you should know it. No. You want to make an amend? Stop sleeping with other women. Stop sleeping with other men. Whatever. It may come up, but not because you're barreling through. And I know in the big book and in step 9, they talk a lot about not harming somebody else with your amend, just to get something, you know, off your chest. Just telling the truth doesn't do it. You know that, you ever get that horrible feeling when someone calls you and says, I want to tell you the truth about something. That, no, I don't want to know the truth. Oh, God. Yeah. And timing is essential. Timing is essential. If you're going to make a serious amend and somebody has just come home from work and they've got to quick go out and lead a football team or something, that's not the time to make a big amend. You wait till the timing is right, because we don't want to cause any more harm. And I have seen, and perhaps you too, Nancy, have seen as you work with people, I've seen people create more conflict by doing step 9 inappropriately. So that's just something that we want to do. We don't want to aggravate, you know, old resentments, you know. So it's really about, this is a step that takes a lot of self-awareness. A lot of self-awareness. So I think one of the important things in doing this is also to have forgiven yourself, right, for what you have done. That doesn't mean you don't have the consequences of what you've done, but you're not going, because that does not help. You cannot succeed in truly making amends if you're angry or defensive. This doesn't work. So you can see how much courage this takes, because we're asking, how do we be vulnerable? It takes courage to be vulnerable, to be open. That's what's so thrilling, I think, about Bill W.'s steps, as he puts it out, these steps, and this is what the Buddhist teachings are all about, being willing to see the truth. Sometimes direct amends are actually impossible. For example, the person you injured has, you know, subsequently died. That doesn't mean you don't make an amend. You can still make a living amend by making a change in the specific behavior that caused the problem between the two of you, right? So that the beautiful part about that is you're not going to cause somebody else pain from that particular activity. You can undertake particular kind of community service to others, you know, as a form of restoration. So we have to watch what we're doing and how. And there are many, many ways. Because all of this, even though it's clearing relationships, you can see it's cleaning our own house in a deeper and deeper way. So then there's also the clear comprehension of domain. And the way it's described in the Buddhist teaching is not abandoning the meditation during one's daily routine. So what that can mean, even as we're doing the amend and getting ready to do the amend, we stay mindful in all the activities leading up to the amend, how to do the amend, and after the amend. So that's clear comprehension of domain, not losing our groundedness in mindfulness. And this whole thing about clear comprehension of domain is really wonderful because it can take the most ordinary and mundane aspects of our daily lives and we still look and see the suitability of waking up right there and no matter what's going on. One other way of that is like staying present. So this is a rigorous and deep process. This is a deep process. It's not just about getting the amend over and done with, but tending to the before, to the middle, and to the after. And we learn so much. This step became richer and richer and richer for me the more deeply I got into the Buddhist practice. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. As you can see, it's a beautiful dance. They're beautiful partners. And then clear comprehension of reality. That's a big one. This is the understanding in the Buddhist teachings of the non-solidity of self. Like, yes, I have habits. Yes, I have defense mechanisms. I have ways of thinking. But that's not all of me. You know, who was that wonderful philosopher writer? He wrote, I is a verb. Anybody remember the name of him? I is a verb. But I like to think of this thing we call self is a verb because it's constantly in motion and constantly in changing. Probably you saw yourself today. How many different selves did you have today? How many different moods? How many different ways of relating did you have today? There's no one. You know, so let's open the box. And clear comprehension of reality. And as we do this and get deeper into this, we deeply understand how we are all interconnected and interdependent. And this shows up a lot in step 9. Something I do affects somebody else. My energy affects the energy in the room. All of that. So, as an interesting thing, this is a different form of different. Are people having trouble hearing me? Or okay, it's a different form of step 9. In many of the Buddhist communities, especially around the time of the Buddha, in the rainy season, they would all be together in a small place, and they would be together for a long period of time. And the Buddha really appreciated how when you're contained in a little space for a lot of people, that can sometimes cause difficulties. I mean, you got two people living in an apartment can cause difficulties. So you have 100 people in a small space, right? And so he outlined a ceremony to be formed by the monks on, it was called Pavarana Day, which is the day after the rainy season. And so one aspect of this is monks would come up and they wouldn't say what they were making amends for. They would say, would anybody like to offer any reflections on their behavior? So, in other words, if I were to come in here and say, will all of you at any time tell me, please, how I may have offended you? So it was like step 9 in reverse, you know, kind of. But I thought that was, interesting, because it is a way, when the monks found out what they had done to annoy people, then their job, quote unquote, was to make amends, you know, to maybe stop doing that behavior. So this was part of the ceremony. I think it's interesting, so I'll read it to you. Venerable ones, I invite admonition from the Sangha. According to what has been seen, heard, or suspected of my actions, may the Venerable Ones instruct me out of compassion. Seeing my fault, I shall make amends. I ask this of you for the second time, and I ask you again for the third time. So it was making the amends, but instead of having to figure out what you may have done, it was handed to you. And we get it handed to us all the time. We can see this. So as we work with step 9, we remember a major fact. We cannot erase our prior actions and words. We can't erase them. But amends very often will clear relationships and will free our own heart and mind. And hopefully we don't have to make those same errors again and again and again and again and again and again. I mean, we're conditioned. Habits are hard to change. So Mel Ash, in a book called The Zen of Recovery, he wrote, although we may feel powerless when making amends, we discover that we've always had the real power to change for the better and to wake up. By seizing the moment in making amends, we are ensuring that our disease becomes fully integrated into the whole real human being we are becoming. The only amend that the universe will accept is your consent to become a real human being and resume your correct job of being attentive to this moment. Get a lot out of step 9.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.